Good morning. Thank you for tuning in again this morning, and we hope that you open your Bible and open your mind as we study some things from God's Word. Israel had been in bondage in the land of Egypt. God brought them out with a mighty hand by His messenger Moses. God was working the fulfillment of one of His promises that He made to Abraham, and that was to make them a great nation and to give them a land that would be their own. After 40 years of wandering, because of unbelief of the first generation, that second promise was fulfilled in Numbers chapter 14, verse 28 through 32, because of the punishment they had to wait 40 years for that first generation to die. Now the second generation is about to enter the promised land of Canaan. Earlier, Moses had been told by God that he would not be allowed to enter that good land due to his own sin that we can read about in Numbers chapter 20, verses 8 through 12. So he gathers Israel together for a final exhortation. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, Moses gives the instruction that they will need to prosper in the strange new land which will flow with milk and honey, but would also be filled with danger for the people of God, and as they had been chosen to be His chosen people, this would still be much needed and heeded advice for them to consider. We too are strangers and pilgrims, sojourning on this earth, according to Hebrews 11 and verse 13. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11, we are told we are straying pilgrims. In this world, we are in the same situation they found themselves in. The admonition of Moses then is still very pertinent for us today. As we journey in a temporary dwelling place, his advice for them is advice that we would do well to adapt to our journey here. In beginning of Deuteronomy chapter 6, Moses lists five things that are of the utmost importance to Israel, and for that matter for us, if we will prosper in the land that we are sojourning in. Let us examine these things. First of all, in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 2, that you may fear the Lord your God. Does fear simply mean to be afraid of God? No, it means to recognize Him as the Almighty, to acknowledge Him and His sovereign power, and to be in awe of Him and to respect Him. In Proverbs 1 and verse 7, we are told that fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28, we are encouraged to do service to God with reverence and awe. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, but the power of love and a sound mind is that we should fear the Lord. Why should we fear the Lord? That is very simple. He spoke the world into existence. This manifests great power. Should I be in awe of such power? I certainly should. Man was created in the image of God for His purpose. Genesis chapter 1, 26 and 27. Only when one truly lives his life in recognition that God is real, and who God is and who we are, and what purpose He has for us, can we really prosper in a troubled land. We need to give God our respect, our admiration, and our thanks. Fear the Lord. That's good advice. Second of all, Israel was reminded about the power of sin. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 3, therefore hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord your God, your fathers, has promised you. Why did God require obedience? Was it to keep them from enjoying the good life? Far from it. It's always for our good and betterment for our lives that we obey God. Man needs to understand that whatever God has asked him to do, it's in his best interest to do it for the benefit of his physical life and also preparing for the eternal life. Sin is a great separator. It cast Adam and Eve out of the garden in Genesis 3, verse 24. And the prophet Isaiah told us in Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, it separates man from God. The whole nation of Israel rebelled against God, and a whole generation perished in the wilderness because they disobeyed and were unwilling to believe. Please read Numbers 14, 22 through 32. This warning was given for us that we might not fall by the same poor example in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1. You would also do well to read 1 Corinthians 10 in the first 12 verses. Sin kills us, according to Ezekiel 18, verse 20, and its reward is death, according to Paul in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. James also agrees with that in James 1 and verse 14. Only when men recognize the power of sin and are willing to turn away from it can they be protected. It is so easy to deceive ourselves with the concept that everybody's doing it. Everybody makes mistakes and nobody's perfect. All this is the devil's lie, to belittle the effects of sin in our life. We need to understand that sin is a danger. It should strike fear in our heart. It will cause us to be separated from God, and if we fail to repent and turn from it, it will cost us our souls. Yes, we must realize the power of sin. Next, we must learn to trust the Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 and 5. What kind of example did Abraham set for us in this area? He was a man that had faith in God. He showed us living in active faith. Read Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 through 17. When he was called by God in Genesis chapter 12, he left all that he knew to go to a land that God would show him. He offered his son without question, without explanation, in Genesis chapter 22. We also read that he looked for a city whose builder and maker is God, Hebrews 11 and verse 10. We need this type of faith in our life today. Does God require any less of us? Without faith, it's impossible to please him, we're told in Hebrews chapter 6, 11 and verse 6. In James chapter 2, beginning in verse 14 through 26, we're clearly told that without faith without works is dead being alone. That as the body is dead without the spirit, so faith without works is dead being alone. Please consider the great heroes of the past who trusted the Lord until the end, according to Hebrews chapter 11. Noah acted by faith and built the ark for the saving of his house, Hebrews 11 and verse 7. Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice following God's instruction, Hebrews 11 and verse 4. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell because the instruction was followed, Hebrews 11 and verse 30. And the children crossed the Red Sea by faith, according to Hebrews 11:29, when they followed the instruction given by God. And we are called to live by faith in Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. And Paul told us that we walk by faith and not by sight, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 7. Trusting the Lord means looking to Him for guidance and direction. We can't do it all ourselves. We need His help. It's not in way man who walketh to guide his own steps, Jeremiah 10 verse 23. Do you trust the Lord that much? Could you repeat the means and the words of Paul in Galatians 2, that Christ is crucified with you? Without complete and unwavering trust in God, we will never prosper in the land in which we dwell. Next, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 and 7, Moses instructed, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and to talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." This admonition of Moses emphasizes how important it is to know the will of God. Knowing the will of God would protect your children from death in the land of Egypt. Read Deuteronomy 31, verses 9 through 12. No one can live right accidentally. No one can live better than what they have learned. Israel needed to know and be reminded constantly what God had done for them and what He expected from them. They were very forgetful. Are we any different today? In Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, we're reminded that we can be forgetful and we can allow things to slip. In Acts 17, the Bereans were commended by Paul because they were ready to search the Scriptures daily to find out whether those things were so. Not knowing the Scriptures make a great difference. Jesus told the Sadducees that in Matthew 22, verse 29, that they erred not knowing the Scriptures. Jesus gathered His disciples and gave them the command to go into all the world and teach the gospel to every creature in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Only one way can man respond to God. He must be taught, John 6, verse 45. How did the eunuch know what to do? He was instructed in Acts 8, verse 31 through 35, when Philip preached to him Jesus. How did the Philippian jailer know what to believe in? In Acts 16 and 32, Paul and Silas taught him more accurately the things contained in the Word of God. Israel was told how important it was to know the will of God. to teach that will to the children, and to remind them both constantly concerning the things contained in the law. Is any less for us today? We're told to be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within us in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, and we're told to study to show ourselves approved of God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. God's power is in His Word, according to Romans 1, verse 16. We must learn that Word to harness that power in our lives, that we might put it in our heart, and that we might know it, and most of all, and most important of all, that we live it and obey it. And that leads us to the last point. We must keep His commandments. In Deuteronomy 6 and verse 2, to keep all of His statutes and His commandments, which I command you, and your son and your grandson all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Is it enough to say we trust the Lord? Is it enough to have faith in Him? Many think so. Yet Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, Jesus Himself said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." He would also say in Luke chapter 6 verse 46, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" The only way to show faith in the Lord and trust in the Lord is to be obedient to His will. Please consider again the teaching of James 2, verse 14 through 24. Look back again at Hebrews chapter 11, dear friend. Each was commanded to act by God and believe what they were told, and by faith they acted. Did it go in one ear and out the other? No. Should it be that simple for us today to listen, to believe, and obey? If I trust and believe in Him, I will do what He says. If not, why not? God told Israel their purpose in Deuteronomy 6, 1 and 2. It was to take top priority in their lives, to hear, to believe, and to be obedient. It is the same for us today. We must purify our souls by obedience, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Obedience frees us from sin, according to Romans 6, verse 17, and He is the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey Him, Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9. And we cannot have a split allegiance, according to Jesus Himself in Matthew 22, verse 37 through 40. And our obedience, according to the Apostle John, in 1 John 3, 22 through 24, and chapter 5, verse 3, is a demonstration of our love for God, our faith in Him, our trust for Him, and most of all, our love for Him. Can we do any less? No, dear friend. We must also, if we are to prosper in this strange land, we are to fear the Lord. We are to understand the terribleness of sin. We are to trust God with our whole heart. We must learn His will so we can act upon it. And last but not least, we must be obedient by doing it. Will one prosper in the land that we dwell in by doing any less? More important is this question. Will we ever gain interest into that wonderful place prepared for us by God for all eternity without following these directions in life? Give sober consideration to the answer to that question. Your eternal destiny depends upon it. Remember, dear listener, we are here to do God's will, not our own. Open His Word, study it, meditate upon it, pray about it. But most of all, learn it so we can be obedient to it and pattern our lives after His teaching. We again point you to the Word of God that will lead you to eternal life. Thank you for listening today, and if you have opportunity, please come and worship with us. Until